for those just joining us, we are starting a new tradition, or at least trying one out, of starting with a hymn sing a few minutes before the service begins. On the Sundays when we do this, we will leave the door open until after our announcements. So if you see the store open and we start talking, don't worry, we promise we'll take care of it when it's time, all right? So we're going to try our third song for the hymn sing, which is hymn number 396, I Know This Rose Will Open. So I'm going to sing it, and you sing it back to me, all right? So, I know this rose will open. I know this rose will open. I know my fear will burn away. I know my fear will burn away. I know my soul will unfurl its wings. I know my soul will unfurl its wings. I know this rose will open. I know this rose will open. Now I want you to think about a rose for a minute. Do you feel good when you see a rose? Some of you don't. Maybe not when you prick your finger on the thorns, but otherwise. Generally, when you see a flower, you feel good, right? Let's hear that in the song. You ready? Let's do it one more time.
I know this rose will open. I know my fear will burn away. I know my soul will burn its wings. I know this rose will open. I
Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Sayre Johnson. Welcome to this place. This is a home where no revealed truths are promoted and no scripture or human being accepted as infallible. This is a place for searching for truth. But we are believers. We believe in intellectual freedom. We believe in justice. We believe in compassion and concern for each other and the whole world. We believe in commitment to those ideas and to making, which make us caring and active in the struggle for human dignity. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those of you who are first-time visitors. We welcome you and especially encourage you to join us after worship for coffee and conversation and potluck. Information about church is available from the new member packet during coffee hour and from any of the people here gathered. We invite you all to fill out one of the first-time visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months and let you know about the programs and activities going on here at church. We are really glad you are here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. If you have children with you, they are invited to attend our religious education programs when when the children leave for class later in the service. We welcome everyone to this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. Now we have announcements. Do we have any?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, Lyric, this is not a time to talk to your dad, okay? Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody today?
Good.
Loving the rain, that it's not snow. That was a blessing, I'll take. Well, some of us, I love the blessing of this. So first off, I want to remind everyone that on March 20th, our youth will be having a formal, and they are encouraging everyone to attend in any attire from any generation, all ages. I might show up in suspenders, we'll see. Cost is $5, more if you can, less if you can't, and bring your own beer, among other things. They will be providing the non-alcoholic beverages. Anything I'm missing from that announcement, youth? Nope. And with that, they will be using the money raised from this event to help support Camp Fest. And I believe we have an announcement about that.
Announcements, announcements, announcements. A terrible death to die. Death to die, a terrible death to be talked to death, a terrible death to die.
So today is our first Camp Fest 5 2015 meeting after church, after you get your potluck stuff. We would love to have you join us. Join us if you're just interested in getting information about what Camp Fest is. It's our all church camp out. It's going to be June 7th.
8th through the 13th.
Thank you, Pastor Sunshine. It's at Père Marquette's group camp.
Yes.
And
I have a map.
There's
because
a map.
It's a camp that we don't normally go to, so we can look at the camp.
Yes. It's a particularly accessible camp,
yes.
So mobility issues, mm-hmm. It's a lot easier than the one that we've been using the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And it's great. The pool is fantastic for younger humans who are less than 2 feet tall because it starts at 2 feet and then goes to 10 feet.
Yes.
Great.
So come if you're interested in getting information. Come if you're interested in being on the committee because we know how fun that will be. We'd love to see you all.
We also have a reminder that on March 14th, we will be having our covenant workshop. This will be a session to write a covenant for the entire congregation. This is a document that says how we promise we will be together in community, whatever that means, whether that's here, that's online, that's two of you gathered in your home, how we promise to be together in community. So if you want your voice included, you should definitely attend. There will be an opportunity to sign up after worship, as well as by sending me an email of reservation. There will be childcare provided and an opportunity for our children to include their voice in our covenant. And there will be, I believe, a breakfast buffet type thing and lunch provided. So no reason not to attend. Again, March 14th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We hope to see you there. And that concludes this morning's announcements.
We begin our service this morning with a prelude. The words of Abraham Joshua Heschel. A religious person is a person who holds God and humanity in one thought, at one time, and at all times, who suffers harm done to others, whose greatest passion is compassion, whose greatest strength is love, and defiant of despair. As Bob Larson lights our chalice, please join me in reciting these words. Love is the spirit of this church and service of its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek truth in love, and to help one another. Our opening hymn is number 361, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In.
If you like to do nice things for people you know. Okay, look around who didn't raise their hand. Raise your hand if you like to help people you don't know. Those of you who watch Larry Wilmore, hope you're keeping it 100. It's very important. Those who don't watch Larry Whitmore, he has a segment of his show he calls Keeping It 100, which means keeping it 100% real, which means you often say things that you wouldn't necessarily say at other times because you wouldn't say it because you're polite. So, some of you, if you were keeping it 100, did not raise your hand for help in the stranger part because the idea of talking to a stranger would probably freak you out, right? So I've got a bunch of envelopes. Anybody guess what's in the envelopes? What do you think?
Paper,
yes. There's definitely paper in the envelopes. That was a good guess. What else? Presents. You could say there are presents in here, yes.
Notes.
There are definitely notes in here.
Certificates.
Certificates. No.
School?
School? Nope.
Money.
Money. There's definitely a couple of envelopes with money in it. That's good. Any other guesses what are in these envelopes?
Assignments.
Assignments are definitely in these envelopes. Ah, somebody knows what they're talking about. We're getting much closer to what the truth is. More envelopes? Yes, actually, a couple of these have more envelopes in them. So here's the thing. This month, we're celebrating 30 days of love. Of love, Not that, you know, nice, happy, put it on a Hallmark card, the fake stuff you see in movies love. But that messy, difficult, we're standing up for each other and we care about each other type love. That love that helps us know that injustice to anyone is injustice to everyone. That our lives matter. Right? And in these envelopes are an opportunity to live into that love. But each envelope contains something that makes you stretch a little bit. They all include doing something kind for a stranger. But they all involve different things. And they're not all easy tasks. So what I'm going to do right now is invite you, if you choose, to come forward and take an envelope. Without knowing what is in the envelope, it will tell you to do something. And sometime in the next 2 weeks, you're going to do that thing. And then on February 15th, when we have our big intergenerational service celebrating Standing on the Side of Love, you'll have an opportunity to share the story of what happened when you did the thing in this envelope. Now, I will say, because I only have 12 envelopes, I encourage families to take one envelope and do it together, whatever that means for you, okay? So your whole family gets to do something together. And I won't hand out two of these envelopes because they're going to go to the people in second service, okay? So raise your hand if you would like an envelope. Ah, a couple of folks volunteered right away. Hold on. Select anyone. Okay, and then I saw, definitely saw you next. Take one. Derek, you gotta wait your turn, hon. Okay, I think it was you next. This is for your whole family now. Okay, so this has got everybody. The Trupia family. Okay. All right, we got a couple more for folks. We have four more for folks back here. Okay. You know what? I can make more for second service. Okay. Hold on. I've been ignoring this side. Is there anybody over here? Okay. Yeah? Okay. Yeah? Okay. That's fine. So here's the task for everybody else, because I know some of you didn't get one and you might have missed out. If you didn't take an envelope, here is your assignment. Sometime in the next 2 weeks, I want you to do one random act of kindness for a stranger. It can be anything you like, okay? If you are at a loss for that one thing to do, there are a bunch of websites that give suggestions for little acts of kindness that you can do. You can look them up. I'll make sure some are on Facebook. If you still are at a loss, you can call me. I promise I will help you figure it out. Does everybody promise sometime in the next 2 weeks you'll do something kind for a stranger?
Yes.
Why?
Because
you already do. That's not, okay. That's a what you already do, but that isn't a why. Why do we do things for the stranger? Young.
Pay it forward.
To pay it forward, okay.
Because we used to be just like
them.
Huh? Because we used to.
Because we used to be in their situation, right? Because we need that help too, right? Okay, any other reasons why we help the stranger? Because we're polite? Okay.
To show the inherent dignity of
the inherent worth and dignity of all people?
Because it feels really good.
Any others? Ron?
Because they're in some group that we want to help.
Because they're in some group we want to help.
Just because.
There's an interesting one. Just because.
It helps us as much as it helps them.
It helps us as much as it helps them.
It's good to benefit other people.
It's good to benefit other people. Absolutely. One last one.
You have to owe you later on.
You have to owe you. No, there's no owing in this scenario, okay? This is a pay it forward situation, not a tally sheet, okay? For those who are staying in worship today, we're going to be talking about many of the terrible and difficult things that happen in our world. And oftentimes we feel like we can't affect change, we can't make things better. My hope is in the next 2 weeks that we really consider what one act of kindness can do to help heal our world. So really consider that, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks. And at this time, I invite our children and youth to go on to their classes. Second reader did not appear, so I think I'm going to play reader two. Okay. I tell you what, I'll take the microphone over there. So today, we share in a poem by a man named Barry Oshry. And Barry spends his life studying the dynamics of power and oppression in communities. And the thing that he knows is this happens everywhere. So the terrible dance of power. There is a dance that takes place with great regularity, a terrible dance, a dance of death and destruction, human beings killing one another, always for great and noble causes. We have danced this dance throughout our history. We have danced the dance in years gone by, in the great American West, with the crushing of the American Indian, in Turkey with the murder of Armenians, in Germany with the destruction of Jews and Gypsies and homosexuals, in Cambodia with the annihilation of millions, in India with Hindus and Muslims massacring one another. We have been dancing it of late in Iraq, in Sudan, in Somalia, in the Caucasus, in Israel, in Indonesia, in Northern Ireland, in Rwanda, in the old Soviet Union, in South Africa, in Peru, in Sri Lanka, in the Philippines, in El Salvador, in Afghanistan, death and destruction for great and noble causes. The dance begins.
There is a system, a single nation or collection of nations, and in that system, there are high power people and low power people. The high power people control the system's resources, its food, material, technology, weapons, opportunities. And there are the low power people. The high power people see themselves as the bearer of some higher mission, manifest destiny, the master race, the one true religion, the way. Standing in the way of the mission are the low power people. They are blocking the vision, defiling it. The high power people see themselves as we are special, noble, righteous, favored by history and by God. And they see the low power people as them, insignificant, or dirty, or dangerous, or evil. Seeing them this way, the high power people can do to them things they would never do to one another. They establish rules or laws or customs that make things better for the we and worse for the them. They may stop the low power people from practicing their ways, speaking their language. They may remove them from their territory or confiscate their property or enslave them or exile them or annihilate them. They can do all of this without guilt or shame because the low power people are them, lesser, insignificant, dirty, dangerous, evil. Who wouldn't do this to such people? If the low power people are eliminated, the dance is ended. If not, the dance goes on.
The low power people respond. The low power people respond gently, fearfully, rationally, even apologetically. We don't want to make them angry. They cast ballots, elect representatives, debate, and demonstrate. the high power people react.
There is a system.
Page 7.
Sorry. To the high power people, the response of the low power people is out of line. A complaint, a threat, an insult to the dignity of the we. Who are they to complain? And the response of the high power people is harsh. Requests are ignored, promises are made, then broken, then delay, then ban demonstrations, they pass new laws, they intensify the oppression. Now we're going to have our sharing of gratitude. I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations that you bring with you to church this morning. There will be time to share joy and concerns in a few moments.
Hi, excuse me, I'm Robin. I know I haven't had a chance to collectively thank everybody who was really supportive during my surgery time and meals, reaching out with text messages or phone calls or stitch and bitch sessions at my house over lunch. I was really grateful, so I just want to thank all of you collectively for your support and love. It really meant a lot. Thank you.
I now invite you to the microphone to share briefly any sorrows or concerns you bring with you to church this morning. May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in our hearts, a burden shared becomes a load lightened.
I invite you now into a time of prayer, meditation, or contemplation, as is your own personal spiritual practice. I invite you to become comfortable in your pew and to become aware of the world around you. To remove your thoughts of everything but your breathing. To focus on your breathing as it enters your nose or as it reaches the bottom of your lungs. I invite you to take a breath in and out and in and out. Now one more time so your neighbor can hear you in and out. On this day, we open our hearts and our spirits, our minds and our bodies to a world often in conflict, to a world struggling to find itself, to a world all at once broken and whole. We open ourselves to the possibility that all of these struggles mean transformation for ourselves and the world around us. And even as we acknowledge that pain and suffering and chaos are natural parts of life, we also recognize that in some cases it is preventable. It is knowable, it is something we can learn about and be with. And through our small acts, our small gifts, we can create change. Today, we recommit ourselves again and again to that love that is messy and difficult and patient, kind and compassionate, particularly with those for whom we have a difficulty being patient and kind and compassionate. I'm invite you to take a moment and consider one person in your life with whom things are difficult or uncomfortable. And to consider your love for them. As you consider them and your love and all of the messiness that exists with that person, I invite you to focus on your breathing. And as you breathe in that struggle, that strife, that difficulty. And breathe out that compassion for them. So breathing in and out. Breathing in the struggle. And out the love. Breathing in. I invite you now to consider all people in the world who are experiencing a similar struggle. And as you breathe in their struggle and strife, and breathe out compassion and love for them. Breathing in, and breathing out. Breathing in. And breathing out. Breathing in. And out. Now I invite you to turn inward. And remember those times when you've had a similar struggle with yourself. And to breathe in that struggle with yourself. And to breathe out compassion for yourself. Breathing in. And out. Breathing in. And out. One last time. In. And out. Invite you into a moment of silent prayer, contemplation, or meditation. As we come back into this place, so may we say, blessed be. Now we'll sing our meditation song. Thank you.
each receive from this church the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. How does the money that you give reflect what you receive? As you give to our plate this morning, you are invited to consider how your spiritual life, that life of meaning and value and purpose, are enhanced through your giving. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given.
Enter the radicals. A new force develops among the low-power people, a radical force. The radicals call for more drastic action, not accommodation, but fundamental change. Overthrow the power structure or separate from the nation. The radicals become a we, and all who are not we are them. The high-power people are them, but so are the moderates. And you can do to them things you would never do to one another. You can hurt them, maim them, bomb them, torture them, annihilate them. The radicals can do all of this without guilt or shame because they see the high power people as them, and they see the moderates as them, as lesser, insignificant, dirty, dangerous, or evil. Who wouldn't do this to such people? Enter the accommodators and the extremists.
In the high power group, there are the liberals who want to accommodate the low power people, redress with their grievances, right their wrongs. But in response to the radicals' actions, a new force emerges among the high power people, an extremist force. Angered by the radicals, threatened by them, the extremists stand against any accommodation. The extremists become a we, and all of them who are not we are them. The radicals are them. The supporters of radicals are them. The accommodators are them. They are all them. And you can do to them things you would never do to one another. You can hurt them, maim them, bomb them, torture them, annihilate them. The extremists can do all of this without guilt or shame because they see the radicals and the moderates as them, as lesser, insignificant, dirty, dangerous, or evil. Who wouldn't do this to such people?
Enter the privileged radicals.
Among the high power people, there emerges a privileged radical group, the privileged sons and daughters of the high power people, who align themselves with the low power radical group. The privileged radical people also stand for radical change, fundamental change in the power structure, redistribution of wealth, power, and privilege, or separate homelands or nations for the low power people. The privileged radicals see themselves and the low power radicals as we, and all who are not part of the we are them. The high power accommodators are them. The low power moderates are them. The high power extremists are them. They are all them. And you can do to them things you would not do to one another. You can humiliate them, hurt them, maim them, bomb them, torture them, annihilate them. The privileged radicals can do this, can do all of this without guilt or shame because they see the others as them. As lesser, insignificant, dirty, dangerous, or evil. Who wouldn't do this to such people?
Change, partners. Sometimes the low power people win. They overthrow the higher power people, and they become the new high power people, seeing themselves as the bearers of a new vision, a higher vision, the new society, manifest destiny, the new man, the master race, the one true religion, the way. And standing in the way of this vision are the new low-power people. Them. And the terrible dance goes on. We humiliate. We hurt. We kill. We maim. We bomb. We hack. We hang. We mine. We strangle. We starve them. Always justified in what we do, we are the righteous and the right. Who wouldn't do such things to them? And so the dance goes on. The terrible dance goes on in Iraq, in Sudan, in Nigeria, in Israel, in the Congo, in Rwanda, in South Africa, in Peru, in Guatemala, in Northern Ireland, in the Philippines, in Chicago, in New York, in St. Louis. There is no we. There is no them. There is only you and me and all of us. And then the dance begins. We conclude with a few quotes. Quote, you blacks are not human, you are like monkeys. We can do anything we want to you. A John Jaweed speaking to a Dajo tribeswoman in Darfur.
Between fanaticism and barbarism, there is only one step. Diderot.
Imagine asking people who they are, and the only thing they can come up with is, I am a Croat, or I'm a Serb, or whatever. Imagine these people were born that way, and they haven't made any progress since. A Bosnian woman. Are you sure it was God who gave you permission to kill women and children? End the quotes. We'd start today a little light. Heavy stuff, huh? Sound familiar? Yeah. The thing that I find interesting about the work of Barry Oshry and so many people like them is that this is part of how human communities operate. We don't do this just on the national stage. We do this between one another. And while we may not kill and maim one another, we can be unkind to one another. And all it takes is one little act of saying that person is different and other and unwelcome to to create a sense of right and righteousness. And I've heard it from Unitarian Universalists who say those fundamentalists are a problem. And we speak unkindly of folks who come from the heart as a way to understand the world, or come from God as a way to understand their world. And I know that's not all Unitarian Universalists, but I want to say we do it too. Anytime we say they, we forget that we are all we. And that's how it begins. It starts with one little act. And all of us are capable of it. And all of us are capable of healing. The thing that we know about communities is we tend to go with things as they have always been done. We are often taught how to act and behave towards people before we even have language. Part of the reason we struggle with understanding the many oppressions that we deal with each day is because we learned how to understand people before we had the words to describe it. I love my grandfather dearly. Every once in a while, he'll come in and say, "I in-rigged that car." You know what I mean when I say in, right? I in-rigged the car, meaning he fixed it. He probably used duct tape. Who knows? But the bottom line is he uses this word without thinking about it. And the truth is, I don't blame him too terribly much because I know that's exactly what his father said and his father before him. And yet I also know that that one little bit of difference was the foundation for a whole worldview in which it is okay to say we can kill people on the streets, that they somehow deserve it. I've seen that in all kinds of places. You see it with Christians who do that with folks who doctors in abortion clinics, right? Doctor was blown up in Kansas City, 6 years ago now? And they could do that because he was dangerous and dirty and evil, and it was okay to do that to them. Right? And yet, that cannot be repaired until we can see them, the people who did the bombing, as us, and try and build a conversation. But it doesn't have to be grand acts of mediation. It doesn't have to be amazing things. It can be simply starting with what was in your envelopes. Who took an envelope this morning? What was in your envelope? You don't know. Who opened their envelope? What was in your envelope?
$5.
$5. And what are you supposed to do with that? Give it to somebody who needs it. Does that sound easy to you? Yes?
Write a letter to someone and tell you
you appreciate them. Okay? Joy? Pick one day and smile at every person you come across. That one's harder than it sounds. I think it depends on who you are, but it can be harder than it sounds, particularly if you're smiling at somebody and they just don't want to smile back. But the point being that these little acts of kindnesses remind us that we are connected to one another, whether we believe in those differences or not. We don't have to do great, amazing changes to the world. In fact, we can't. We have been dealing with this stuff for thousands of years. We're not going to fix it in a couple of months or a couple of years or even, quite frankly, a couple of lifetimes. But does that mean we don't start today? And we start with a little thing. You don't have to do a lot. But every little thing that reminds every one of us every day that we are worthy of compassion is the most important thing. When I was living in Tucson, Arizona, I worked as a case manager. And by happenstance, I ended up finding myself as an advocate for sex offenders, which was one of the last places I would have ever thought. I am a survivor myself, and doing that seemed like a crazy thing. But I was working with homeless men, predominantly, trying to help them get jobs and housing. And the thing about sex offenders is that they can't find housing most of the time, and they definitely can't find employment, or they have to lie. And that often lands them back in prison. And my thing was, you know, let's just either keep them in prison or let them go. But we, you know, this thing is just measure upon measure of cruelty. And as I got to meet some of these sex offenders that I was working with and started to learn about some of their troubles and their illnesses and their struggles, I started to realize we had made the sex offender so other that we didn't know how to provide real care or community. And by providing that real care or community, actually prevent further sexual assaults. Instead, we ostracize and we other to the point where these folks often feel so desperate that they'll commit another crime just to end up with a place to sleep and a meal. Rather just go back to prison than deal with the hassle they have to deal with every day because they are treated as so other. But the truth is, these folks are parents and sons and daughters just like any one of us. And that took me a while to get to, but once I got there, I found I had more compassion for my own life and what I had experienced. And through my compassion with the sex offender population that I was working with, we could find better avenues for that community as well. And I'm not advocating sexual violence, far from it. But what I think I learned from that time was greater community meant prevention. Ostracization meant more violence. In other words, we need each other. We need each other to heal and to live and to be accountable. And so to heal this terrible dance of power, we need to remember our connections. And think about that dance. After a while, you started forgetting who was in what group, right? Right? The privileged radicals and the moderates and the low, well, the low-power people and the high-power people. I got that much. And then there's the privileged radicals and the just all these different groups. And because we come from all these different groups, it makes the conversation harder. We don't know how to talk to each other. And yet we do it again and again and again. But when we start to move away from that they, them, we maim, we hurt, we do those things, we start to create a world that is better. Now, I'm not advocating for one global community. I'm not for that. Not as such, anyway. I believe there might be one day one world government. That's not the same. I think it is extraordinarily important that we maintain our cultural differences and value and respect those differences and recognize that one system may not fit everybody. And that's okay. It doesn't matter what we believe. It matters that we care and support for each other. So as you go forth in these next 2 weeks and do that one act of kindness for the stranger, and I do encourage you to do it for a stranger. It's easier to do it for people you know. Think about the ways in which you might think of that person as other or different from you. There's real deep connection. Because if there's anything I know for sure, it's that our world needs us to show up and to be present and to love one another, especially when it's uncomfortable. I know some of my introverts are like, you want me to do what? Go out and talk to a stranger? I'd rather stay home and read a book. I hear you. I'm the same way. But it's still important to go out and be in the world. Somebody tell me one thing they plan to do in the next couple of weeks. You're doing something. Your kid took a young books right there. Robin? You have one? Okay. Well, consider it deeply. And keep in mind that dance. Anybody tell me how dance started? Anybody know this story? Most dances started as a way to train for combat. Learning about leading and whatnot. As a way of moving the feet. Most dances started as a way of training for combat. and yet it got transformed into something wonderful. So how will we transform our dance into something wonderful again? And so, as we consider that question, I invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow. Join in singing hymn number 311, Let It Be a Dance. The chandelier. Make sure you're looking at folks who maybe can't see you, can't be seen. This is our community. This is the group we dance with week after week, and I hope in cases day after day, these are the people we say yes to. Know that you are not alone. And may we commit, at the very least, to not dance that terrible dance within these walls, but to try something anew. And so you go forth this week, know that you are not alone, that by your witness, you bless each and every person here. May it be so. And Sarah will extinguish our chalice.